of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Some of you may know that before I was a pastor, I was a high school social studies teacher, and the American Revolution was my favorite subject to teach and to learn about. Ever since my first class of early America history at Bowling Green State University, I caught this fever to learn as much as possible about the American Revolution. The causes and effects, the characters, the documents, the ways in which we interpret it today, all of it fascinated me. And as a full-time student, I would even check out books such as the letters from Abigail Adams to her husband John in the Continental Congress, or the autobiography of Ben Franklin, in order to get a more rounded frame of events. And I'm a little embarrassed, but this is true. I planned Jessica and my honeymoon around going to see certain Revolutionary War sites. I was giddy walking into the birth home of John Adams, and of course I asked in-depth questions of our historical guide. I had chills at the sight of the Boston Massacre, which stirred the hearts of so many to the cause of revolution. But nothing comes close to this document I just read an excerpt from, the Declaration of Independence. I used to read it every 4th of July with a similar reverence I reserve only for Scripture. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those words are so beautiful and have inspired so many for justice and equality in our world. These words make this country very unique. And these words established a foundation for new possibilities and elasticity for us as a nation to grow into if, and this is important, if we let these words move in us and if we apply them and act on them in all we do. All men are created equal. And I'll say more on this a little bit later. Jesus' first disciples were at their day job, just fishing, when out of nowhere, this man comes and says to follow me. They drop their nets, leave their jobs without giving a two-week notice, and begin this faith journey, not knowing where it will take them. They travel with Jesus, constantly gathering in the newness of God's kingdom that is unfolding just before them. But they never get to a point where they say, I got this whole thing figured out. No. Instead, they are consistently confused, constantly surprised by God's acts through Jesus. And we like to give them a hard time. But their world was always changing. And God was always active in that change. God was on the move. And so after Jesus is killed on the cross, the Roman response to keep God from being on the move, the disciples experience the risen Christ, who in the Great Commission tells them to go to other nations in my name. Essentially, get moving. Do what I did. You are my hands, but more importantly, you are my feet to get moving. This is why the earliest Christians were referred to people as the people of the way, because they were on the move like Jesus. They did not repeat the words of Jesus behind closed doors and then say, that's enough. No, they went and they lived those words into the community. And this is what leads Paul in Acts chapter 24 to say this. But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything laid down according to the law or written in the prophets. I have a hope in God, a hope that they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Therefore, I do my best to have a clear conscience toward God and all people. So after his conversion, where Paul was converted from prosecuting to compassion and nationalism to inclusion, he teaches that the word of Jesus for this moment is to make room for all. And Paul really does live this out. He welcomes all Gentiles and, united with the resurrected Christ, says salvation comes from grace, from the grace of God. So the kingdom is more than just quoting the words of Jesus, but it is a movement to make the words of Jesus become a reality in our world. It is to follow the way that leads to truth and to life. Friends, this is the journey we are on. We have put down our nets to follow and join a God on the move, always reforming, creating relationships, and deepening our love for God and one another. And God is still speaking, and so are those famous words that we lifted up today. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We know that the men who wrote these famous words did not always live out these words. We know that many of these men owned human beings as slaves and treated them as one treats disposable equipment. They were not lives. They were not lives with hearts or minds or souls. They were tools. We also know that women and foreigners, poor white men, and indigenous populations at this time were not guaranteed the same rights as well-off land-owning white men. So these words, while in of themselves speak to this higher truth, one that certainly rings of the prophets and the gospel, a society where all are equal and have their needs taken care of, we can see even then was not fully realized. And we still see an inequality in much of the same social categories as it was 245 years ago today. We have yet to reach the potential of these words, a potential that perhaps the founders had never imagined. But along the way, there have been nudges in the right direction, usually right after a moment like the cross where the resurrection gives birth to new life. In 1848, in Seneca Falls, it was Elizabeth Cady Stanton who pushed for equality of sexes with the radical words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men and women are created equal." Like Paul, she allowed the words to breathe into her day and address the needs of her community. In 1865, the 13th Amendment passed, says, where neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And while we know that the except for punishment for crime still plays out in discriminatory ways these days, we do celebrate the fact that slavery was ended and it did not continue. Yet over the years, there has been a need to keep reforming because we tend to backslide or we tend to need those improvements. Which is why in 1920, the 19th Amendment addressed women's suffrage, saying the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied on the count of sex. And again, living into those words of equality of voice. And then in the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, and later added sexual orientation and gender identity. Again, on the move, on the way, not there yet, but we still get a glimpse every so often when we do move ahead. And then in 2015, the Supreme Court struck down all state bans on same-sex marriage, legalized it in all 50 states just 6 years ago. And right now, we are still seeing the need to uphold rights that have been endowed by the Creator, the right of safety and the right of liberty and the right to happiness. And so on this 4th of July, we are reminded that we are followers of the way. Our actions and faith in the Creator don't stop at quoting inspiring words, but they are on the move. They move us to join God and unfolding God's possibilities of what can be. So brothers and sisters, we are on the path. We are called to imagine what can be when we live out our faith. What can be when we listen to the needs of those around us? What can be when we choose to walk with God? May it be so. Amen.